Well, you probably know that a group of Australian scientists have been investigating the extent of coral bleaching on the Great Barrier Reef. The task force has now concluded its aerial and underwater investigation, and the news is pretty grim. According to their surveillance of the reef, 93% of the reef has been affected by bleaching. That means just 7% of the Great Barrier Reef off the coast of Queensland is untouched. Last month, we spoke with Professor Terry Hughes. He's a marine biologist from James Cook University, and he's the convener of the National Coral Bleaching Task Force. We spoke to him when he was actually in the middle of conducting these aerial surveys. Well, now, after flights over more than 900 individual sites, the full 2,300-kilometre length of the Great Barrier Reef, Terry Hughes has completed this mission. Terry Hughes, welcome back to RN Breakfast.
Thanks, Fran.
Let's go to the good news for a change, Terry. How did 7% of the reef manage to escape bleaching?
Well, 7% is the proportion that has no bleaching whatsoever. There's about another 25% that is lightly bleached. So across the length of the Great Barrier Reef, we found a very distinctive north-south pattern. So the northern 1,000 kilometres of the reef, only less than 1% are not bleached.
Wow.
That's the region which has been very severely damaged by this event.
Mm-hmm.
South of Port Douglas, as far as Mackay, about a third of those reefs are severely bleached. 10% are not bleached at all. Those bleached corals are generally fairly pale, but they're not snow white. So as this event continues to unfold, those corals are now starting to regain their color.
Already?
Yes. The temperatures are dropping quite rapidly now. So we expect the lightly bleached corals in the central region and south of there, all the way to the southern tip, to recover quite well over the next few months. They'll regain their colour and there won't be too much mortality. It's a very different story north of Port Douglas, where we were already measuring about 50% mortality of those corals. And that's why we did our flights beginning in the north, because we knew that the white corals would have a high rate of mortality, and it's now too late to do the aerial surveys in the north because so many of them are dying.
When we spoke to you last time, we've touched base with you a couple of times and you were trying to find that southern boundary and you kept never finding it. And it turns out basically it's almost the entire reef has been affected by this bleaching event.
Yeah, there is a big difference between the central and the south. So when we got to Mackay, which is obviously three quarters of the way down, the areas there is it's so-called macro tidal. The tide goes up and down by between 6 and 8 meters in many places. That flushing, that water flow, seems to have protected the reefs from there south. The other issue though is the X cyclone that came from Fiji, which cooled down the southern third of the reef.
Right.
Without that weather event late in the summer, this could have been even worse.
So it's because of the hot temperatures of the water, and that was expected to some degree. We knew El Nino was coming, and that's been the impact of it. But when I think everyone listening, when they hear you talk about to the north of the reef, the high mortality rate of the coral, does that mean dead, gone, never to recover? Is that coral going to stay white forever, or will it recover?
No, there's two things can happen to a white coral. It can either regain its colour and survive, and that happens when the bleaching is mild. So south of Port Douglas, that's exactly what's happening
right now.
North of there, half the corals have died so far. Some more of them are likely to die in the next few months, so our underwater surveys are ongoing for several more months. The problem with the north is the bleaching is so severe that it is affecting virtually all species, including the very long-lived ones. So we are losing corals that are 100 or more years old. So the fast-growing, weedier corals will rebound, hopefully within about a decade. So it's not that fast. But once you lose a 200-year-old coral, it's not going to come back in any less time than that. So the northern portion of the Barrier Reef will not look the same again in my lifetime or your lifetime. It has been changed probably forever.
It's just heartbreaking, and the obvious question is how much does climate change have to do with this, particularly as we now see yesterday marine biologists revealing coral bleaching found in Sydney Harbour and also coral bleaching on the west coast, up around Broome, that area too.
Yeah, no, the link to climate change is very clear. So this is the third major bleaching event we've had on the Barrier Reef. Each one has a different footprint, and that footprint is explained very precisely by where the hot water was that year. So this time around, the hot water was in the north, and that's where the most severe bleaching is. So I guess the question now is, what do we do about this? How can we maximize the resilience of the reef? And really, I think the elephant in the room for the Great Barrier Reef is Australia's climate policies and speeding up the transition away from coal towards renewable energy.
Okay, well, that conversation goes on. Terry, thank you very much for joining us. Thank you for the work. It's a pretty tough story that you tell, but it's better we know it. Thanks so much for your team and for your team's work.
Thank you, Brian.
Professor Terry Hughes, Director of the ARC Centre of Excellence for Coral Reef Studies, and he's the leader of the National Coral Bleaching Task Force and a marine biologist at James Cook University.